Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Cagna. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from USA Today Lions Wire, and this is the official podcast of USA Today Lions Wire. And we will talk about all things Lions, including the 24-9 loss to the Minnesota Vikings this past Sunday, another lackluster performance, and which led to the first of maybe many scapegoats to be fired. We'll see where it goes from here. We'll start with the Lions injury report, as per normal. Number one, TJ Lang with his neck. He did not practice Wednesday nor today, Thursday.
Yeah, this is a new injury, because last week he was limited with a hip. And the speculation here is that the neck injury was suffered when he got he got speared in the back on one play. And they announced him as not having a concussion. They said he was not in concussion protocol, which was a strange announcement because he got hit in the back. But apparently,
gotta make it clear to everybody.
But apparently, that they were concerned about his neck and head, and so that's why it was announced as non-concussion. But the neck is the fourth injury he's had this year.
He's had a rough year.
That's man, and you got to feel for him. And if the concussion wasn't scary enough for him, to contemplate retiring, he's now had, hip, back, neck, and concussion.
Yeah, right? Well, I would hope he retires. He's had close to having the hippo hot dogs record. He could work on that during retirement.
He's such a good player.
But his health enough's enough at a certain point.
Yeah, his health is really troublesome. We'll see. He was limited the last 2 weeks. Now not practicing either day could be rest, could be even more concerning. The fact that it's a new injury, really lots of stuff up in the air with that. So this is a big one. It's a big one to see how he practices on Friday, or if he doesn't. And if he doesn't, it probably means he'll sit.
Darius Slay with the knee, no practice Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, this one's a little bit more surprising. Remember, he was added to the injury report on Friday with a knee injury. Played all but three snaps in the game.
And he wasn't great.
yeah, but he wasn't terrible either. I really liked their game plan with him to let him cover the off man and then double Thielen. So, but yeah, no practices 2 days in a row. Again, could just be a want to give him some rest, but Friday will be a big one for him too.
All right. Surprise, surprise. Ziggy Ansah with the shoulder. Limited over the last 2 days.
He has not had a full practice since week one, Friday. That was his last full practice. And, if he doesn't get a full practice in tomorrow, he'll probably be on a snap count again.
Jalen Reeves-Maben, also a neck, limited last 2 days. Everybody's limited from here on.
Yeah, he had last week a toe and neck, which caused him to miss the game. The fact that he's practicing is actually an upgrade for him. And the fact that the toe's not on the injury report anymore is also an upgrade. So worth keeping an eye on him, that's for sure.
Everyone's still scared about Kerryon Johnson's ankle.
Yeah, him and Blunt. Blunt has a knee, right? So both of them are injured. Yeah, and limited. But the fact that they traded cut Amir Abdullah. And you're bringing in a guy. Now, granted, Zach Zenner knows the system, but you're signing a guy off the street and cutting.
I told you he's going to come back. But they never go away.
But I mean, you're cutting a guy who's in the motion. If they were really concerned about Kerryon or Blunt, they wouldn't have made that move right now. They just wouldn't have. I mean, logically, it doesn't make sense to, cut 25% of your roster if 50% of your roster is dinged up, unless you're confident that those 50 are going to be able to come back.
Luke Wilson, shoulder.
Yeah, shoulders are tricky, right? We've seen this with Ansah, but if he gets a full practice on Friday, it wouldn't surprise me.
Eli Harold, also the shoulder.
Yeah, again, could go either
almost
way.
Almost got a blocked punt.
Both? Yeah, he did. That's correct. He was one of the guys that they noted was not really doing much this week, though. So he's a guy who could carry this limited right into an out after tomorrow. But he could also come back. It's like I said, shoulders are finicky.
Now, now we're going to roll out of the injuries and move into the big moves the team made over the last week. The first one, you folks in the media angered a lot of the fans of the Lions by saying Lions coach gets fired.
Yeah.
And then you got to click to learn more, and then you learn that it's special teams coach Joe Marciano and not offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter.
Yes, the Lions did that. When the Lions released, they said they're shaking up the coaching staff or something like that. My article said Lions fired Joe Marciano.
Like, well, I just lumped you in to be a jerk. Like, I wasn't being exact there. Maybe I need to be a little more exact around here.
But he did. Look, the special teams have been
awful.
Yes, and there's no doubting that. Really, you know. Marciano is a guy who has a long history, 30 years coaching in the NFL, right? He had some serious success with the Lions in the last previous two seasons. Got a rookie kick returner into the Pro Bowl All-Pro. He got Sam Martin as an alternate to the Pro Bowl, Matt Prater as a Pro Bowler in 2016. So and they've been in the top five or six every year, right? And that he's been here.
But it's a what have you done for me lately league.
Exactly. And right now they're 28th, 29th in special teams or something like that. I think the only thing they're really in the plus side of the rankings is kickoff return. I think they're seventh right now. And that is attributed to what Agnew did. And he's not here. So yeah, it's troublesome. Lots of penalties, and it was a big mess. So they've shifted away from Marciano, and they're they're increasing the role of Devin Fitzsimmons. Now, Devin Fitzsimmons is the assistant special teams coach. Now, they didn't anoint him as the special teams coach. They just said they were
weird. They have no faith in him. Well, I find that interesting.
Okay, but here's where it gets interesting, right? He's been coaching for five seasons, right? And he is technically the assistant, but he is and he's going to take on the majority of the duties, they said. But they have a guy named Darius Swinton, who's an offensive assistant. He has 10 years coaching special teams in the NFL, including being the 49ers special teams coach in 2016. He was an assistant before that with the Bears in 2017 and 2015, and he has been in a variety of special teams roles in other areas. So they've said that other guys are going to contribute, and Swinton makes a lot of success, a lot of sense to me, because he's been doing this for twice as long as Fitzsimmons has.
Gary Luke asked the question, are the special team struggles primarily a coaching problem or a player problem? Is firing Joe Marciano really the answer?
Yeah, it's to be determined, really, Gary. You know, I think the coaching is a problem for them because they weren't disciplined. They weren't doing, what they had done historically in the past. I would say there's a personnel problem, meaning they don't quite have the horses they had in the past or the experienced special teamers. But you also have to remember that Steve Longa was their number one special teamer, and he's on IR. He got injured in that last game, and that was a big blow to the special teams unit. And you might not think about it that way, but those things matter. And then
that's why they get their own spot in the Pro Bowl.
Right. And then Charles Washington has been a consistent gunner, but the spot opposite Charles Washington has fluctuated all year. They started out with a receiver there, and he lasted a week. I'm blanking on his name right now. I apologize.
Powell?
No, it's not Powell. It was their they signed him. We were surprised he made the 53, and then he got cut after week one.
Oh, shoot.
I'm totally blanking. I'm embarrassed that I'm blanking. But then they went to another defensive back, and then they shifted. Even Amir Abdullah had snaps there. They have had inconsistent play out of that gunner spot, and that has been a real problem. So, yeah, the players aren't executing, but
I'd say you'd feel more it's a player problem than a coaching problem. But
I think it's both. It's really
sure. Well, if a unit's this bad, it's got to be both. But you can't fire all the players, although right. Homer Simpson tried.
So is firing Marciano really the answer? My statement to that is
maybe
it can be, because sometimes that wakes players up.
If it lights a fire under them, we'll see.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I keep saying this every week, but game against the Bears is telling. If they go three in a row no-shows, yeah, then it wasn't going to work. All right, moving on. The players that have been added. Zach Zenner, we mentioned this already. Welcome back into the fold.
Yeah, you know, he injured his back in the preseason finale against Cleveland, what, like the second or third play, right? And
they give him an injury settlement?
They did. They put him on IR. Then they gave him an injury settlement, and they paid him for 6 weeks, which was what the doctor said if he would be out. And that was exactly how long he was out, 6 weeks. And then it took him another week, I think, before he ended up coming back. But now he's back, and he's familiar with the system. He's familiar with what they need to do. It's interesting how he will contribute. I think most of it will be on special teams. He adds that experience on special teams, but he has traits that they like in a fourth running back. Like, he's a good pass protector, and he can catch balls out of the backfield. So
Line for Life asks, how big of a role do you think Zenner will have in the offense?
I don't think he will have as big of a role as people are anticipating.
So, saying that, Sean Sweeney asks, do you think Zenner will get 8+ touches this week with every other running back banged up?
I kind of alluded to that earlier, that I think Kerryon and Blunt are still going to be full goes this week. If Zenner is active, I think he will be a special teams guy. And if he gets anything more than one or two touches on offense, I would be pretty surprised. 8 touches is pretty significant. I don't think he would get anywhere near that.
And now, finally, Sean has a tabloid-esque question. Is he now 235 pounds or 221 pounds?
I don't know. I'm not sure if he's serious. Have you seen the pictures of him?
No.
He has apparently refocused.
Bloated up.
He looks...
Well, he's trimmed
he's
down.
Jacked. He's jacked up now. There's. I mean,
well, this is what happens when there's no minor league in the NFL. You got to do something.
He's got muscles on muscles now. So good for him. He is listed at 221 on the Lions depth chart.
All right.
Roster, I guess.
Next man in, wide receiver Bruce Ellington.
I'm excited about him. He's more of a slot guy than TJ Jones is. TJ Jones is more of that versatile guy. He saw, you know, half the snaps that Golden Tate normally would have gotten from that slot position. So they really scaled back the slot usage. Ellington gives them an option there. He also is a good kick returner, and his biggest issue is he just can't stay healthy. Super athlete, though, and he's got really good agility. So he'll be fun to watch, see how quick he can get acclimated. I don't think he's going to be, you know, getting a lot of touches this week or a lot of, but they're going to have some stuff mixed in for him, I think, for sure.
Brandon Kerr asks, is Ellington going to be the number 3 or number 4 option with TJ Jones in the mix?
I think this week they'll be splitting, and I think after that he'll be the 3.
All right, released and waived. Number 1, the big one with the bullet, Amir Abdullah.
Yeah, you know, it just, he
didn't work out.
The coaches just, for whatever reason, he didn't fit what they wanted to do. I think he's still talented enough
to the football.
And that was really what I think broke him. You know what I mean? He was inactive. After fumbling, he was inactive the next week and then gone after that. So I think the fumble was really the last straw.
Claimed by the Vikings. So I don't have the same feeling about him I did about Ebron. I don't think he's going to come back to haunt us.
No, it's, you know, he's
a good dude, too. You know, it's too bad that this... We're going to start seeing him coast off.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Andy Jones added to the Lions practice squad.
Yeah, he was cut to make room for Ellington and then added to the practice squad where Hakeem Vallis was waived. So that was a bit of a surprise that they're picking Jones over Vallis. But, you know, they had two tight ends, and I guess they wanted to have two wide receivers on that practice squad instead.
All right. And Cravon LeBlanc, we saw him a little bit against the Vikings, claimed by the Eagles.
Yeah, he was cut to make room for Andy Jones, who played last week and got a couple of snaps on offense.
The week before.
He was on Saturday or something like that, right? So, yeah, and you know, it's telling. You know, you don't like to see these guys go, but the fact that Lions are cutting players that are getting picked up by other teams, getting claimed by other teams, you know, it tells you that, you know, they at least have players.
Do have depth.
Well, I mean, they have players, right? They do. So. It's not as awful, I guess, as it has looked. And I'll get into that in a minute.
Takeaways from the Vikings game. Once again, Lions lost 24-9 on Sunday. The lovely Viking Stadium down there, the brand new one. The offensive game plan was a little overcomplicated. Never adjusted to the Vikings.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, the pressure came so quick. Like, I think they got home on Stafford like less than 2 seconds, a couple of those sacks. It was silly. And yet, they're getting there so quickly, and everyone could see how quickly, even when they weren't getting sacks, they were getting pressure. And then Jim Bob Cooter's calling flea flickers and stuff. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like,
he was trying whatever. Mix it up.
He had double screens in there that didn't work. He had screens where the receivers didn't know that they were Stafford talked about them on one play. I don't know if you remember there was a screen to the left. The offensive line, the entire offensive line let the defensive line go, and they both went in separate directions as in for two separate screens. And Stafford looked left, and there was no one there. Everyone was blocking. And so, like, when you have a jailbreak, people coming in, like, it was just...
Gotta take the seventh sack.
It was a mess. It was so overcomplicated, and they kept running guys deep. And again, if you're getting pressured, you have to adjust that. And he didn't. And so the offense just never adjusted. The running game was working, but then they had to move away from it because they were losing so much. And so it was just way overdone. The flea flicker is what put me over the edge. Like, flea flickers take so long to set up.
I know.
And they work when you can run the ball.
Yeah.
And neither of these were happening.
It was fun and exciting.
Not in the NFL. You can't.
Great in Tecmo Super Bowl.
They're great in college, but they are terrible in the
NFL. Well, yeah, in the NFL, they're never throwing deep anymore. Now, this is not just a Lions thing. This is any team thing. They run the flea flicker, and they end up throwing the ball like 17 yards downfield. It's like, why even try to do this? You know, like, you run the flea flicker so you could throw this 50-yard bomb.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. All right. It was a mess.
MSU Lions fan, is Kenny Galladay not getting open because of his route running, or is he open and just not getting the ball?
He says that he needs to improve. So he's saying that there's part of it that what he's doing is not enough to get open. But I also think, as I just alluded to, he's not being schemed open. When you lose Golden Tate, you would think that they would start scheming either Jones or Galladay to start taking some of those shorter routes, and that just wasn't there. Like,
You were right. They were using Theo,
and they used the tight ends. But the tight ends weren't getting separation.
Well, tight ends probably an error. I mean, I think Theo is fine, and yeah, you probably should mix in one of the other two guys to run other plays.
Yes. I think he wasn't schemed. I think he was on the field for. Let me get the right number here. He was on the field for 68 of the 70 snaps.
I was going to say, that's got to be pretty much all.
He was targeted three times.
But Stafford couldn't. Don't forget that they ran 70 offensive plays, 10 of them were sacks.
It doesn't matter.
That's 10 pass attempts that didn't get out of his hand.
It's just.
Could have got an extra one or two targets out of that.
He should be the first or second target. It didn't happen. It was a mess.
Lang and Wiggins combo's an issue. Yeah. Decker looked injured with his back. Yeah. Gandalf, Gandalf or Galdolf, Honolulu Blue. Gandalf?
I think it's Gandalf, yeah.
A wacky name.
My fault.
What, in your opinion, was the cause of how poorly our offensive line played? Or was it also on Stafford? Well, if there's 10 sacks, everybody's a fault.
Yeah. Yeah, and the news, The Athletic, and The Free Press all did studies on just those 10 plays. And they all basically came to the same general consensus, and it was a combination of problems. It was Decker not quite looking like he was fully healthy. It was Wagner still struggling to contain his edge against
Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter.
Hunter.
Who just continues to have his number. It was Wiggins not picking stunts up correctly or just getting straight beat. Lang put a guy on the ground, pancaked him, and the guy made the sack from the ground. Like, it was just it was a mess of a whole. And there were coverage sacks, and there was Stafford tripped over Decker on one of them.
Like, he was and now I'm not going to get too assaulting on Stafford here, but he was bracing himself early on a couple of those sacks. And I know it gets into your, they got into his head a little bit, and it's like, well, this is, you know, I got to bear down.
10 sacks, 19 hits on the quarterback. I mean, that. I would imagine he was getting gun shy for a reason, right? Yeah. So it was a problem. But that Lang Wiggins combo trying to get them 50-50, in my opinion, it's disrupting the communication. You saw it, look, on the Wiggins on one Wiggins on a stunt. Wiggins blocked his guy down into Glasgow, which hindered Glasgow's ability to duck down and pick up the stunt or receive the guy from Wiggins so Wiggins could pick up the stunt. And Wiggins literally just took Glasgow out of the play. Like, when you have when you're switching guys like this, you have communication breakdowns like that. And it's just, I'm terrified of it moving forward, but I'm probably even more terrified of if it's just Wiggins getting the start there from now on.
The defense played better than the score indicates.
Yeah, you know, you got to remember, they were put into bad spots. The offense wasn't moving. They were giving advantageous spots to the Vikings. But they had a game plan to take out Thielen, and they did. While the Vikings rush day looks good as a total, when you look at how they ran the ball outside of that 70-yarder, they were on 22 rushing attempts. They only ran the ball for 2.64 yards on average. That 70-yarder bumps that up to 5.6 for the game, but the run defense was actually better outside of that one play where they got absolutely gashed. But that's still the problem, right?
It's still a big problem because they still give up with that 70-yard run, the 128 yards overall, which is right about where they were at, season average, right near the bottom of the league.
Okay.
It's probably close. I'm probably not right on that statement. Okay. But that 70-yard run, you know, like they always talk about teams like that who play good defense but then give up the big play here and there. That your university was a culprit of that last season. And if you play a team to a stalemate, yet you give up a 70-yard play here and there, you're going to lose by a touchdown. And that's the spread, you know?
No, like, 100%.
Something that definitely has to improve. Yes, it is a good sign that on the other 22 attempts, they were getting less than 3 yards per game.
Right. And I think my next point on the list is a big reason for that.
Snacks Harrison continues to impress now in his second game as a Lion.
He is so good in this system, and when he's on the field, it's so difficult to run against. And, you know, even Ashawn has seen his game improve, although Ashawn was the culprit on that 70-yarder. He got too high upfield instead of holding his gap. He started pass rushing. And when he pass rushed, he left his gap, and that's where the play went. So, but Ashawn has looked better. I thought Hand might have had his worst game of the year. I think Ricky Jean didn't play really well, and that's, you know, you're not going to get Snacks out there all game. He's only going to play 2/3 of the game, and that's about as much as you're going to get out of nose tackle. But man, he looks really good when he's out there. He's a really good beacon of hope for this run game to get better as the season wears on.
2/3 of the game, but the Vikings had considerably smaller number of plays.
Oh, yeah, like 46. Lions.
Okay, so 2/3 of 46 is...
Or 48 or something like that. Yeah, 48.
It's 15 snaps or 30 snaps, 31, 32 snaps.
He had 33.
No, 33.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, but he's going to get up there. I think that's going to be normal. I think he's going to be in that 2/3 range as we move
forward. Well, 33, but they didn't play a lot of snaps on defense. So if they are playing one of those 70 snaps, like on the other side of the ball, you're going to see him out there for 50 plays.
I think he will be out there a lot. Yeah.
Tease the liability. Sure is.
Yeah.
They need to find some slower guys for him to cover. I think that's what the problem is.
You know, he was out there for 14 snaps, And he...
It seemed like he was out there for a lot more.
And it, you know why? Because I think that when he came out there...
They target him.
I think that's exactly what happened. I think they targeted
him. He's a weak link. All the other teams know it.
And unfortunately, he is not doing what he's supposed to be doing, right? There was a question from Daniel Reese on there that said, do the struggles Tease is having remind you of Slay's first year? I've seen some flashes, and I think he would benefit from being in press man. I think he would do well in press man. They're not using him in press man. They're using him in the slot. They're using him in off man, which is really his struggle. But even when he is playing some press man against like a tight ends, he's still getting beat. I get the concept because of comparing it to Slay's first year, because Slay had a very bad first year. But in Slay's first year, you could see it was just an inexperience thing. With Tease, it looks like it's an athleticism thing. Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think he has the talent to play consistently at an NFL level right now.
So how do you feel about guys like this? Now, we don't know what's going to happen with Tease, you know, but should a team just cut bait early on one of these guys? Because this can get... Because that gets out of hand at the same time. Because all teams make bad decisions. We might make more than most. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you give up on all your bad decisions right away, you're going to end up with a really thin roster in a hurry.
Yep.
You know, you got to give some of these guys more time to develop. I don't know if Tease is one of those guys.
I think you have to let him try and play out the year.
Yeah, sure. Are they going to find out on the scrap heap that's better?
Right.
They could get lucky and find something, but odds are they won't.
But, I mean, you're cutting Cravon LeBlanc. Right, and he got picked up to go somewhere else, and if he's not beating Tease out right now, then who else are you going to find that's better, right? So, you know, corner takes time. It really does, and there's not a lot of guys that walk in and just shut down things in year one. I think he'll get the year, but he could be a guy who could be in trouble moving forward after the season.
Speaking of moving forward, let's move on to the Chicago Bears. The Lions go visit them at Soldier Field on Sunday afternoon. The Lions, 6.5-point underdogs. Not a surprise there because they are playing the first-place Bears. The referee is Alex Kemp. His first year as a referee, 3 years as side judge, and 1 year as a field judge. 14.57 penalties per game on average, so once again slightly over the 13.44. And we get a nice, boring broadcast crew on Fox, Chris Myers and Daryl Johnston. Yeah. Just right by the book. You know, nothing special is going to happen in Sunday's game.
Yeah.
Wonder why we didn't get Spielman. Was he assigned to a better game?
I saw the game he was assigned to. I can't recall what it was.
Because there's not that many good games this week. And I would guess Joe and Troy, even though they're doing tonight's game, would be doing Rams-Seahawks. Because that would probably be the best NFC game weekend. You would think you'd be, because it's the first place
really
Bears. And I guess we shouldn't drone on about it.
Okay.
All right, head coach Matt Nagy. They're 5-3, first place, as I mentioned. Their rebuilding efforts have gone on for a much shorter period of time than the Lions. Their last four games, they crushed the Bills 41-9 last week.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, beat the Jets, who we got crushed by. But we're not bringing the transitive property of football into play yet.
Because
then they lost to the Patriots, who we beat.
And
they also lost to the Dolphins, where we have a win. So, you know, anything's in play here.
It's such an up and down, you don't know what you're getting Lions season.
Well, yeah, no, we're totally inconsistent. Like,
yeah.
Look at the games they've won. Except for the Dolphins game, which would, at the time, we'd expect them to win that game. We'd want them to win that game. Otherwise, they've beat the teams we'd be certain they'd lose to.
Right.
And then they lost to all the teams. It's like, well, they could probably win a couple of these games. So, start with the quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. Chase Daniels, the backup.
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time because I know we're kind of dragging along here as it is. But Trubisky, I think we all know him. He's in Matt Nagy's system now where he's making shorter passes. So, his numbers are going to be up, easier completions. And you know, he has some games where he's successful, but he has some games where he's just downright terrible. You know, we talk about Stafford looking bad last game. Stafford's quarterback rating was 83 last game, okay? And in five of the games that Trubisky has played, five of them have been under 83, okay? So Of the eight games, five of his games, he's had a quarterback rating worse than Stafford's quarterback rating last game. Like, they're winning despite him, not because of him, right? And where he has three, they've got three games where they've won when his quarterback rating was below 83, which is just, you shouldn't win that way. But they're winning because their defense is good.
Yeah, they've got a top-notch defense, right, and they can run the football.
So Trubisky is...
old-school way of winning.
They have a lot of talent on this team. They really do. But for these Bears fans to talk about Trubisky being the second coming of their savior over there, he's not great. He can run, which is really a underrated aspect of his game, and I think that's something the Lions need to be cautious of, because he can trick them into getting first downs, easy first downs and stuff like that. But I'm not scared of him throwing. He could throw three touchdowns just as easily as he could throw three interceptions. Like, he's just, I am not overly impressed with him as a quarterback right now. He's developing, but he's not this guy that, people think he is yet.
The Lions may not have to worry about Mitch Trubisky much, but they'll have to worry about these guys. Running backs Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, Benny Cunningham, and the fullback, Mike Burton.
Yeah, it's a good, it's top 10 run defense, right? Howard is he's good. He is out-touching Cohen our last couple games, but Cohen is really the type of guy who has burnt the Lions in the
past.
Change
of pace type guy.
Yep. And so I don't know if they really have a good answer for covering Cohen, unless they maybe use a defensive back on him. I think a defensive back could pair up with him nicely, but if they try and put linebackers on him, it's going to be a problem. If they, if they keep linebackers on the field, though, against Howard, if they don't put linebackers on the field against Howard, then you can have problems there. So I think the game plan will be how to stop Howard and Cohen, though.
It's probably the whole key to the game.
Yeah, really.
We'll go on from here.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, Allen Robinson with his groin injury in this week 9. He's been screwing with a lot of fantasy teams. Taylor Gabriel has got a knee injury. He's limited. And Anthony Miller, second-round draft pick from this last draft.
I like Anthony Miller quite a bit. I think Anthony Miller is going to be a good player for them. Gabriel's a guy who's been a problem for us in the past. Remember, he had a great game when Atlanta came here not too long ago.
It was Falcon.
And Allen Robinson, local kid who
Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
And he's a good player, but they've got some nicked up guys and inconsistent Trubisky there going. So I still think the focus will be on the run game, even though these guys are pretty good weapons.
Tight ends, Trey Burton, Deion Sims. He's been in the league long enough. I hope he has enough money that he doesn't have to steal laptops anymore.
He has a concussion as well, so he might not play. But Adam Shaheen, who's been on IR all season, is eligible to return. Very possible he does. I think Burton, like Tariq Cohen, is a matchup problem for Detroit.
Trey Burton.
And I think, again,
emerging.
You're going to need a safety helping out. If they match up Diggs on Burton, which is what I think they're going to do, I think that's an advantage to Burton. But, maybe they won't match him up because they haven't always had great success matching up on tight ends.
Offensive line from left to right, Charles Leno, Eric Kush replacing Kyle Long at left guard, Cody Whitehair, James Daniels, and Bobby Massey.
James Daniels is their second-round pick for them on offense. He's had a good year. Whitehair was a high pick for them a couple years ago. But losing Long is a blow. They've got some good tackles. Massey's not great.
It's never good when you lose progeny of Howie Long.
Right. Massey means there could be some upside with Devin Kennard. We could see some hope there. And then hopefully maybe some inside push over Cush's spot there.
All right. Flipping over to the defensive side of the ball. They run a 3-4 scheme. Good against the run and the pass. And
yeah,
all.
Both.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, they're good in both areas, right? If they have a weakness, it's probably over the middle in that short area. the area where Golden Tate used to be really good. If they can, and when we talked about, where they failed against the Vikings, it was in that area. But they can be vulnerable there. So, if Stafford can start picking that middle apart, that can then open some stuff up on the sides. They have some weaknesses that he can attack, but this is a good team. They're balanced all over. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard game for the Lions offense.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning that they have the third best defense according to yards per game given up in the NFL. First in rushing yardage given up. So that doesn't bode well for us. The defensive ends, Akeem Hicks, Jonathan Bullard, and Bilal Nichols.
Nichols is a guy that we talked about as a good fit for the Lions, but he was inactive last week. It'd be keep an eye on him. Bullard is a good player, but Hicks is really the problem. Hicks has been a problem for us in the past, and if the Wiggins-Lang isn't corrected, Hicks is going to go right over this that spot there, and you're gonna have Wagner looking to block guys on the outside, and that Wiggins-Lang combination on Akeem Hicks, huge potential problem for the Lions.
Eddie Goldman manning the middle.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about Eddie.
Now, the next guy you should be mightily worried about, left outside linebacker Khalil Mack, with Aaron Lynch being his backup.
And on the opposite side, it's Leonard Floyd. And so you've got two guys coming off those edges where...
And Wagner and Decker have not been great over the last couple of weeks.
Right, and Wagner is potentially your guy that's going to line up with Mack. And
it's frightening.
So you can't... So Hicks is going to go after that Lang... If Lang's in the game, Hicks is his potential to make wreak havoc is going to be diminished, but he's still going to get there. If Wiggins is in the game, that whole right side of the line is going to be it's a huge advantage for the Bears, and I think the Lions are going to have to run screens over the top of them, run left over on Decker's side behind Frank Ragnow. I think there's ways to offset it by running left and just trying to get the pace of the game away from that side, because the Bears hold a lot of advantages. The one thing I will note about Mack, though, is that he had an ankle injury in week 6, and it limited him in 6, and then he missed week 8, he missed week 9. He's been day-to-day, but it looks like he's going to return.
He's got the cure for what ails him.
But the thing that I want to point out is that the injury that has ailed him has really zapped a lot of what he's done. In the first 4 games when he started out hot, he had 5 sacks and 4 forced fumbles in the first 4 weeks. But since then, he had week 5 and 6, he didn't do a whole lot. And then he hasn't had a sack since, right? So no sacks, no forced fumbles or anything since. And I think that's because of the injury. So how injured he is will be... something to monitor. Right now it looks like he's ready to come back, but if he's not fully up to speed, it'll be interesting to see how much of a problem he is for Wagner. Obviously he's still a great player, and I'm not trying to, I don't want it to seem like, you know, I'm minimizing his impact here.
No, you're making me more fearful, because when there's players that are having ruts like this, there's always a good team for them to face.
He's
we have wild things happen to us in the past.
Sure.
All right, men in the middle. Roquan Smith, first-round draft pick, and Danny Trevathan. Nick Kwiatkowski and Joel Iwabunye.
Yeah, Smith.
I'm close.
Smith and Trevathan are their starters. Roquan's really good. But Trevathan, I like what he can do. He's better against the run, which is one of the reasons they're good against the run, but he's not great against the pass. Part of the reason why they can be a little bit vulnerable over in that, you know, up top of the linebacker spot. So it'll be interesting to see if they can take advantage of their aggressiveness.
All right, the corners. Prince Amukamara, Kyle Fuller, one of the Fuller brothers, and the Bryce Callahan will be manning the nickelback. We'll also see Marcus Cooper and Sherrick McManus.
Be interesting to see how they match them up, right? Will they match up Amukamara on Galladay or Jones? There's some potential if they don't match them up right to take advantage of those guys, but they've been playing well this year. So credit to their secondary coach for doing a good job with them.
Safeties are Eddie Jackson and Adrian Amos. We'll see also Deion Butch and DeAndre Carson, Houston.
Yeah, Jackson and Amos are both up and coming guys. They were really opportunistic last year, so. It's, again, there's not a lot of weaknesses on this team, and the secondary has some good names. So, if you can, but it's all about how you attack them. if you can attack the middle, if you can go away from, run away from the good players. There's ways to hit the cracks in this defense because, you know, while the Bills only put up 9 points, the Dolphins put up 28. The Patriots put up 31. So they can be scored upon. Yeah, even though they statistically are having a great year.
All right. The specialist, the kicker's Cody Parkey. Punter's Pat O'Donnell. Kick return man is Benny Cunningham. And we'll see Tariq Cohen returning punts.
Yeah.
Detroit versus everybody 313 asks, will the Lions score more than the Vegas projected 18 points? If they don't and get blown out, will Jim Bob Cooter get fired? No.
I don't think he'll get fired either. I do think that...
let this build.
He was put on notice a little bit with the Marciano firing, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, Quinn's got to do it at the end of the year.
I also think they'll score more than 18 points, but that leads us right into our prediction. So since you won again by a couple of points differential last week, you're up 5-3, and so yes, it is your honor.
It's going to be 43 and partly or 41 degrees. No. 41 degrees and partly cloudy in Chicago, so the weather's not going to be bad, right? So I can't put the score real low. And if the Lions are, I don't know, 18 points is pretty healthy for how this Lions team's been playing. But they're going to play a little better than expected. They're still going to lose. Bears 24, Lions 21.
Wow.
Why?
We're really close.
Oh.
I have Lions 24, Bears 23.
Okay. All right. There
so
you go.
Your score again was
24-21. Yep.
So you picked
a standard score.
Yeah, and I picked just... I think Lions need this one.
No, they do. As
you pointed out, this team is... They've done everything backwards.
Sure.
And when you expect them...
We would expect them to lay down.
Coming out of Miami, you expected them to be better, and then they laid an egg. Well, now we're expecting them to lay an egg, and these are the games that they come back and win. And so
you make a good point, Eric.
So I'm going with the Lions on this one. I think that they keep their win streak against the Bears alive.
All right. Questions first from Keen Observations. In your opinion, could the change in quarterback coaches to George Godsey be why Stafford is more inconsistent on deep throws and just looks a little off in general?
It's a tough call. It's a tough question, but I think it's a legitimate one. I haven't really thought that much about it.
He's been playing for 10 years.
Which is why I think it's not necessarily
in the NFL.
On the coach, right? Yeah. And I don't think Godsey has done a whole... At this point, 10 years in, your quarterback coach is just looking at film and telling you what you're doing wrong. Like, he's saying, I'm having trouble hitting this, and Godsey's saying... Well, you're on your back foot too much, or you know what I mean. I don't think he's
release points terrible. It's too far forward
I think he's pointing out what Stafford has done that was successful versus what he's if he's making mistakes. He's helping him understand why. I don't think he's changing, you know, his motion. I don't think he's asking him to do anything different. Stafford has just he's just been off, and there's been a variety of reasons why I think he's been off, but. He's been on a lot, too. I think we look at last game and we remember how the season started and we think he's having this bad year when realistically he had a nice stretch there in the middle where he was playing at a very high level.
Ohio's Lions asks, what player outside of Stafford has to step up in the second half of the season for the Lions to make a push?
You know, it's so hard to tell, right? Because you almost need... everybody to take a step up in almost every direction. But I will say if they're going to make a big difference on defense, you're going to need somebody like a Ziggy Ansah to step up because I think we've seen what we can get out of Glover. I don't think he can give us any more than he's giving, which is not as good as what it was. Davis is learning. We've improved the middle of the line. That's getting better just by the additions. But adding a guy like Ansah can really solve some of their problems.
Actual pass rusher.
Right. And so I think you got to get him healthy and get him on the field. And if you can, it could be a nice boost for the defensive side of the ball.
If I had to pick a guy in offense, it would be Marvin Jones because now he has to be the guy.
Sure.
The highest paid skill position guys on the team, and so you'd think he'd have to step up to make up for some of that lost production from Tate.
Yep.
Next question from CA11MeDonkey. It looks like Call Me Donkey. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
What is your confidence in the Lions the rest of the season? Well, you know my answer. Well, I don't know, and it's fair to say you would feel the same way, because we don't know what Lions scheme is going to show up from week to week.
Right.
So how can your confidence be high at all?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to look. They've got three wins. I look at I look at two games on the schedule, and I say there's two more games they're absolutely going to win in my mind. In my mind.
You're right. There should be no doubt. Those are two game Bills and Cardinals for everybody wondering.
Yeah.
Those two games should be money in the bank.
Right. And so then it's can you win how many of those other games that you probably aren't going to be favored in? How many of those games can you pull off?
You got six more games outside of those two.
Right. So Green Bay, Minnesota, two Chicago's, Carolina, and then I'm missing somebody.
The Rams.
Right. With this team, they're not going to be favored. 2-4
is asking a lot.
They're not going to be favored. But this team beat the Patriots and beat the Packers. So, we don't know what we have in them. So, it's hard to say how high. My confidence is low because of how their last two games has looked. But I think they're just so up and down in Jekyll and Hyde. It's hard to really know what we're getting week to week.
All right, we're going to have to smash okay. Mary Lamos and Storm yeah. Gypsy's questions together.
Yeah.
Mary asks, is there still hope that the season will end with a winning record? And Storm Gypsy asks, is 10-6 still a possibility? I think those are both no's.
Man, 10-6 would be really hard to get to. I think winning record against
7-1. What's the one game they'd lose?
Rams.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, right? Rams. That would be
the Bills.
But Mary, man, again, you got two games. Can you win four out of the other six? That's a tough ask. It's a tough ask. Is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. They need things to start going right. And right now, that's hard to bet on. You got injuries in spots where you need help, and there's just so many things that are pointing in the wrong direction. But, I do think it's possible. It's just it's going to be hard to put money on that right now.
Ed Matthews, do you think Bob Quinn saw this team as more of a minor rebuild than he let on? Coaching yes. hires, free agent spending, and game day decisions hint that Quinn and Patricia value building cheap depth and implementing new systems over winning this season. And do you have an issue with the GM looking at his team and realizing they aren't nearly ready for the Super Bowl and making moves accordingly? In my opinion, forcing the issue that with teams that don't have the right roster can put a team in an 8-8, 9-9, 9-7 purgatory that's hard to escape from. Well, that's true.
Do I think Bob Quinn saw this team as more of a rebuild than he led on? Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think that in the offseason, or do you think it took him a couple weeks to figure that out?
No, I think he knew that right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I think he told people what they wanted to hear to justify the firing, but this is what he wanted to do. And I think he knew it was going to take time.
All right, Brian.
I do think that it's his job to make moves for the future, and I think he's doing it. And I think he recognizes that this team is unpredictable, and he's not as concerned about right now. Patricia's job is to worry about now. Quinn's job is to worry about the future. And I think a good GM, whether they're 8-8, 9-7, if that's where they keep ending up, is still going to find players. They were 9-7 last year, and they got Ragnow, who starts, Kerryon Johnson, who starts, Deshaun Hand, who starts, Walker, who's probably going to start next year, and Crosby, who is a potential contributor down the road. So you can still get in those areas and still come up with good teams. You just need a good GM who knows how to move around and make it happen.
Well, yeah. Well, Kevin O'Donnell at the Steelers and the Patriots. Yeah, there's teams that do that year in, year out. You're always picking at the bottom of the draft. All right, Brandon Kerr, with Abdullah gone, how many of Mayhew's draft picks are left on the roster?
Not a lot. Stafford, Riddick, Jones, those are your offensive players. TJ Jones. Sam Martin was drafted by Mayhew. Ansa, Slay, Lawson, and Diggs. TJ Jones is in a contract year. Otz is in a contract year. The rest of them have all been extended by Quinn. So he's seen something that he's liked in those guys. But, you know, the rest of the guys that Mayhew has brought in, they don't really fit in the direction that this team is moving outside of these handful of guys. So it's no surprise that we're 3 years in and we've almost seen a complete overhaul of the roster.
All right. Gary Luke asks, should the Lions now turn their focus to next year and give us as many snaps as possible to the likes of Crosby and Walker to ensure they can hit the ground running in 2019?
I think it's a little bit early for that, Gary. I think it's going to take a few more losses before we start seeing something like that. But if they lose through Thanksgiving, let's say, then I think you're going to see Walker get more snaps. And it's possible if they decide that they are going to shut down Lang that they might start giving Crosby looks on the inside. But I think we're still a few weeks away from them really pushing those younger guys into other roles.
Pittsburgh GM is Kevin Colbert, not Kevin O'Donnell. I think I was meshing Neil O'Donnell.
Yeah, the former Pittsburgh quarterback.
Right? Never mind. Sorry. I don't know. As far as Crosby and Walker go, those guys are going to learn while not playing too. You know,
sure.
They don't necessarily have to get loads of snaps to be ready next year.
Sure.
MSU Lions fan, the way you've said the way Oregon asks their tackles to play transfers better to guard in the pros. Why is that? Is Crosby a potential replacement for Lang?
So what Oregon does is they have always run this kind of quick pace offensive system where they use a lot of pulling of the offensive linemen. In the NFL, traditionally, the players that pull are your interior offensive linemen, your guards, your centers, right? In Oregon system, they use all of their offensive linemen in pulling capacities. They'll block down with guys on the outside and pull their tackles in a similar manner that you would see guards do in the NFL. So there's film out there of Crosby doing essentially that, where he's at left tackle and you'll see him dip under a tight end and pull and try and get out ahead of a running back on a sweep or maybe even a screen pass or something like that. But that's just typical of the Oregon offense. And so those movement skills are really what I'm referring to as translating. I do think Crosby has the potential to play guard. I do think he's the Lions really like him at tackle, but I'm skeptical that they're probably using him at guard in practice as well to get him experience. And I do think he's a talented enough player that he could be a replacement for Lang down the road. The problem is that we just don't know how many looks he's getting at guard in practice because they only allow us access in a limited fashion.
Daniel Reese asks, is Tracy Walker an option at corner? I know he played some in college, and those were some of his best games from what I recall.
You know, when he played outside corner, he struggled. But when he played slot corner, he did well. And in the Lions system, that slot corner can be a safety. And it's something that I've been hoping to see happen out of Tracy Walker this year. It just hasn't yet. So I'd like him to get more looks in the slot as a safety in the NFL, but they've been keeping him at deep safety when they're winning, and that's really it.
Fantasy Football Stoner asks, and by the way, he must be really happy about yesterday's vote. Why does Patricia hate Kerryon Johnson?
He hates your fantasy team in general. That's just, he just doesn't care. Guys have roles, and that's what it is.
We are just about out of time.
Okay, yeah. You know, there's a couple other simple questions, but we can hold on to them.
Except for Picasso's, who is Mike Mullen?
That's my favorite question.
It's in reference to Chris Spielman.
And Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, then eventually Dan Orlovsky.
My favorite trend of the week is famous people that Mike Valente is trashing, not knowing who Mike Valente is.
Also, your Uncle Kyle asks, on the Lions trade Jim Bob Cooter to Dallas for 3 first-rounders.
Yeah, no, it's just a joke. It's a funny joke.
Well, I know. I don't think he actually expected that. That was a humorous question.
Yes.
All right. Now it's time for the shout-outs.
Yeah, we got three ratings. I think a couple of them were maybe re-ups, but it shows up as three brand-new ratings, and that's thank you for that. We're up to 97 now on the list, and that's pretty spectacular. We like that a lot. I saw Brandon Kerr had an updated one. Pat Stafford had some nice things to say about our optimism. That mostly on my side.
Even though that name is there's some negativity in that name.
Yep,
feels.
Yep. And
but it's not Pad Stafford. And Pat Stafford.
And the other one is a series of letters and numbers.
Looks like a bot.
Yes, but it said some nice things, so it can't be that.
Well, it's a nice bot.
Yeah. You know. Right.
Maybe so, not a Russian bot. Maybe a Norway bot.
Well. A neutral country.
Yeah, some neutral country. Well, Swiss spot.
You know what? I think they listen. I don't know who they are. The complicated name. Nice things to say. We appreciate it.
We're pleased they listen. And we're pleased with all of you out there with regular names and with not regular names for listening. That's pretty much it for us. And so let's see the Lions get a win on Sunday, although I'm a little skeptical. And until then, let's go Lions.